This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It is all happening, people. Tonight is the first of three presidential debates between former Vice President Joe Biden and President Donald Trump.
Oh, my God. It's like it's Christmas Eve.
The candidates will face off for the first time, and about 100 million people are expected to tune in.
This is a big night. Huge night.
President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden ready to go head-to-head. The bitter rivals are preparing for their first presidential debate. Biden saying he expects the gloves to come off right out of the gate.
Tonight is coming tonight. Tonight. Hot damn tonight.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
So far, the Trump campaign has been left hanging on a request to have a third party come in and inspect the ears of each candidate for an electronic device.
Is that a hearing aid in your ear?
No, it's my Bluetooth. Yo, what up, Slick? It's my homie, Slick. All right then, Slick.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We're also learning that within the last few weeks, the Biden campaign pushed for and was denied two breaks during the program, one every 30 minutes.
Everybody my age pees their pants. It's the coolest. You ain't cool unless you pee your pants.
The Trump campaign has been asking and been denied a performance-enhancing drug test, as the Biden campaign now says they will not provide a sample.
Unchained and unstoppable.
More and more lawmakers are calling for a nationwide rule on wearing face coverings. Senator Dianne Feinstein has written to federal agencies asking for a mandatory mask policy, both in the air and on public transit.
This show exclusively obtained photographs of Dianne Feinstein in a private terminal at Dulles Airport. Feinstein can be seen smiling without a mask on.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. We're a little less than 3 hours away from the start of the first presidential debate in Cleveland, Ohio at Case Western Reserve University. And joining us now on the line is a former Trump campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, and he is the author of the new book, along with David Bossie, Trump, America First, The President Succeeds Against All Odds. Corey, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thanks for having me, Captain.
Listen, I got to ask you about this letter from John Ratcliffe, the Director of National Intelligence, former congressman, to Lindsey Graham today, saying that there are documents showing that U.S. intelligence agencies learned in late July 2016, more than 4 years ago, that Hillary Clinton, this is a quote, Hillary Clinton had approved the campaign plan to stir up a scandal against U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump by tying him to Putin and the Russians' hacking of the Democrat National Committee. And then John Brennan, the CIA director, a rabid Hillary partisan and a far left wing Democrat who voted for the Communist Party candidate in 1976, subsequently briefed President Obama and other senior national security advisors on the intelligence, including the alleged approval by Hillary Clinton of a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a false scandal claiming interference by Russian security services. How big a news is this, Corey Lewandowski, that they have documents to back this up?
Howie, the fact that the Director of National Intelligence releases information in a letter to the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee today should force Joe Biden to be asked a question on this tonight. We already know that he was present at a meeting on January 5th of 2017 after Donald Trump had been elected, where he was briefed on what was going on by the director of the FBI, the director of Central Intelligence, and the director of National Intelligence. We know that for sure. The triumvirate, Comey, Clapper, and Brennan, did not go and run an operation on their own. This is further evidence that we're now uncovering almost four full years later that the spying on the Trump campaign, that it went to the highest levels of the government. Barack Obama knew about it. Joe Biden knew about it. Susan Rice knew about it. Ben Rhodes knew about it. Everybody knew about it, but nobody thought they were ever going to get caught because Hillary Clinton was a sure thing.
How about the fact, Corey, that they not only didn't investigate this intelligence, but then they went ahead and opened an investigation of Donald Trump based on what they knew was false evidence from Hillary Clinton involving a Russian spy that she had put on her payroll, as we now know.
This was a staffer who came up with this crazy idea. We know that she had campaign finance violations by taking her campaign money and paying it to Perkins Coie, the law firm, to go and get this spy to write this salacious materials, which we know none of it was factually based. But it didn't matter, Howie, because we were never supposed to find out. My question is, when is U.S. Attorney Durham going to bring justice to the people who need to have justice brought? Look, General Michael Flynn's life was ruined over this whole thing. We know he was targeted. We know he never committed a crime. The FBI agents actually said Michael Flynn never lied. This whole thing was a made-up hoax to take down Donald Trump, and there's not been one person, not one, except a low-level FBI agent who's been held accountable, and he was held accountable for falsifying a Pfizer application.
But yet, in the last paragraph of his letter, John Ratcliffe says, Attorney General Barr has advised that the disclosure of this information will not interfere with the ongoing Department of Justice investigations. So in other words, no one's going to be indicted over any of this stuff. I mean, what about Comey? Comey and Strzok were informed that Hillary Clinton was paying for a Russian disinformation operation against Donald Trump. And then they, knowing this, they went ahead and lied to the FISA court about how they had these documents. And it was all from Hillary Clinton and Russians.
Howie, Andy McCabe was the acting director of the FBI. He lied under oath on three separate occasions. We call that perjury. And there was no criminal referral for him to the Department of Justice.
Right.
When does somebody else get held accountable? Because if that was Corey Lewandowski or Howie Carr or John Smith, we would have been locked up with perjury charges. We would have been prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
I know. I wrote a column just for my website today. This is your FBI, just about this guy, William Barnett, the FBI agent who was involved in all this. And he said they would spend all their time just coming up with these crazy conspiracy theories that they could never back up, but they always leaked them to the papers and the cable networks, and they would just run with them for 2 or 3 days, and then it would just be forgotten. It would go down the memory hole. And this is what was going on for 2 years or 3 years.
Howie, Andy McCabe is a paid contributor to CNN right now.
I know.
This guy is a known liar. We know why he's at CNN, because he was leaking information when he was the deputy director of the FBI. He was fired just a few days before he was able to collect his pension. Then he went out and wrote a book. He got rich. His wife ran for the state Senate, got $700,000 from Terry McAuliffe. This isn't conjecture. These are facts.
I know.
These are facts, and we wonder why Hillary Clinton was protected. Well, because Andy McCabe's wife was running and getting money from the Clintons' best friends.
I know. I mean, how could you put him in? He was in charge of the email investigation, which this whole Russian scam was invented to divert attention from. And the guy who's in charge of investigating Hillary Clinton's espionage is taking his wife is taking $700,000 from Clinton's top bundler. How can that not be a scandal in and of itself? Forget lying to the agents under oath, which you're right, it's perjury or obstruction of justice. It's just sickening. Do you think there's going to be any mention of this tonight at the debate? Not from Chris Wallace.
Of course not. Look, there's going to be no mention of this tonight because, number one, Joe Biden didn't remember in a 64-second interview with George Stephanopoulos if he was briefed or not briefed on the incident on January 5th. First he said no, and then he said yes. First, he said he didn't know about the investigation. They said, well, yes, I was briefed on it. But he is not ready to answer questions on that, so they're not going to ask him a question on this. They're going to say it's not relevant, it's outside the bounds, and it won't determine the outcome of the election. But I'll tell you what, Howie, there has been zero accountability on that side of the ledger, the Hillary Clinton side of the ledger, for the crimes committed. And if you listen to how this whole thing got started, they'd say, well, George Papadopoulos went over and talked to a former Australian diplomat, and that's how this whole investigation began. It was a complete fallacy, a total lie.
Well, that's what he says. Hillary Clinton had approved a campaign plan to stir up a scandal against Donald Trump. It's dirty tricks. Corey, I want to talk about your book, Trump, America First, The President Succeeds Against All Odds. Are we going to be able to win this election with all this massive mail-in voter fraud going on? We're hearing about it all across the country now.
Well, look, we are going to win. And the reason we're going to win is because this president made promises and he's delivered on those promises. And Howie, in this book, a lot like my very first book I wrote called Let Trump Be Trump, I take people on Air Force One. I take them inside the White House. I take them behind the campaign rallies. I show them what was really going on. I talk about my time testifying in front of Congress and Jerry Nadler, and I talk about the fist fight I get into with John Kelly just outside the Oval Office inside the White House. And if you don't think that is spellbinding, I don't know what is, but only a guy like Lewandowski could get into a fist fight at the White House with a four-star Marine and say, let's take it outside.
What was it? What was the fight about, Corey?
Well, look, John wanted to control everyone's access to the president. He didn't like me talking to the president, who's a friend of mine. And yes, he is the leader of the free world, but he's also a friend of mine. And so John and I get into it. He told me he wanted me thrown out of his building. I politely reminded John, as I always speak politely, John, you know, Howie, that this wasn't actually his building. This was the people's building. And he spun around and he put me up against the wall, ripped the buttons off my suit. And I said, hey, John, you know what? You're from Massachusetts. I'm from Lowell. Let's go take our coats off and finish this outside. And he cowered like a little baby, Howie, because he knew exactly what would happen. I was happy to go toe-to-toe. He called in a Secret Service agent, and they wanted to have me removed from the building. And I said, you put your hands on me, you'll spend the rest of your career in Siberia. And shortly thereafter, that was the end of John Kelly.
He ripped the buttons off your coat?
Hey, Howie, let me just tell you something. The statute of limitations for assault in the District of Columbia has not expired, and John should be well aware of that.
A quote-unquote reporter broke into your condo. A general ripped the buttons off your coat. You've been the victim of senseless street crimes, Corey Lewandowski.
Howie, it's almost like I live in Portland, Oregon or something, right? I mean, it's just crime everywhere. Wherever I go, crime follows me. I don't understand it. But you know what, Howie? I always end up on the right side of the thing. You know that. And every day, like the president who puts America first, I wake up trying to figure out how I can help him get reelected. We've got 5 weeks to go in this election. He's on the debate stage tonight. You know, I'm going to be on TV all night, both pre and post the debate, talking about the expectations and then what happens. Howie, this guy, when I say this guy, I mean Joe Biden, asked for two breaks in a 90-minute debate because he can't stand up that long. Can you imagine? I mean, it's unheard of, Howie.
I know. I'm going to read up on this this military vehicle that jams. I wish there was one circling the building right now, jamming all radio transmissions. You know, but it's not going to happen. Corey Lewandowski, is Hunter Biden's name going to be mentioned by Chris Wallace tonight?
Well, let me tell you something. I got a whole chapter on Hunter and how wealthy he's gotten from his father being in office for 47 years. It is a relevant issue, and I can tell you this, Howie. You know Donald Trump is the greatest counterpuncher we've ever seen in partisan politics. Joe Biden raises the right hand. He may see a left hook coming. His name's going to be Hunter Biden.
All right. Corey Lewandowski, author of Trump, America First, The President Succeeds Against All Odds with David Bossy. It's available at Amazon and all fine bookstores. Corey Lewandowski, thanks. I hope I'll be seeing you on TV tonight. If you haven't tried Super Beat Soft Chews yet, you're missing out. It's a great burst of energy for you twice a day. I take mine early in the morning, just pop it into my mouth even before I have my first cup of coffee, and then I have one right before I come on the show. It gives me a burst of energy. It sharpens my mind. Joe Biden could certainly use some Super Beats before the debate tonight. I hope no one tells him about this. It's good for your circulation. It's good for your blood pressure. It tastes like candy. It's wrapped like candy, but it's very healthy for you, not like candy. Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious soft chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. And again, like I said, you'll get into the habit of taking them twice a day. Just pop a couple into your pocket and take them with you when you leave for work or to go to school or wherever, and just pop them in your mouth. They taste good like candy, and they will make you feel much better. You'll be glad you got some. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at superbeetsradio.com/Howie. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third one for free. That's superbeetsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Holly Parr Show.
Experience the amazing benefits of Superbeets. Get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase when you visit www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. That's superbeetsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Chris Wallace ask Joe Biden about Hunter?
No, I don't think he will.
Yeah, 92% say no.
By the way, thanks to the Kowloon in Saugus for bringing in yet another great spread for us on Tuesday night. We only had two VIPs here today. It's the first time we haven't been packed in weeks, but they really enjoyed the food. The Kowloon is on Route 1 North, as you probably know, in Saugus, Massachusetts. And if you have a hankering for fine Asian cuisine, get to the Kowloon. It's a fantastic place for Chinese food. And we thank the Wong family for bringing the food in every Tuesday night. 844-500-4242. So I have this friend of mine who's a cop. He was in Iraq. And he was saying that we were all thinking the same thing when they started talking about Joe Biden and the earpiece. Trump needs something, some kind of jamming system, just in case. Because apparently Joe Biden won't agree to have his ears examined by a physician or anybody for that matter. Just look in the ear and see if you can find anything. And so maybe he's going to have some kind of device where they're going to try to give him the information. So this cop sent me this thing, a story. Army tests jamming MRAPs, new electronic warfare vehicle. And it's a truck. An armored truck packed with radio jamming gear. And the one they're talking about is called a Crew Duke. What can Duke do? This is from BreakingDefense.com. What can Duke do? Duke began life in the Army and Marine Corps as a low-power, short-range jammer to keep radio-controlled roadside bombs from going off. But Duke, I like that name, Duke, evolved into a much more sophisticated system capable of detecting and disrupting a wide range of signals, including those from Joe Biden's handlers. No, it didn't say that. Duke is built to sense and jam enemy communications and networks across a broad spectrum of frequencies and with myriad waveforms at significant power. Wow! Sounds like a good investment for the Trump campaign. If not tonight in Cleveland, maybe at the next one. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I just want to play a couple of cuts from the Baker press conference today. And we're going to take mostly calls on the debate going forward here for the rest of the show. But I did want to give you a taste of what's going on. This is Karen Polito giving the green light to fitting rooms. Cut 26.
Fitting rooms will be permitted to open in all types of retail stores.
But not until October 5th. So it still could kill you to go into a fitting room today or any day up till October 5th. Then it will be perfectly safe. Okay, so here's the report. You wonder why there's no good questions at any of these press conferences. Nobody ever holds their feet to the fire. Listen to this listen to this one. Cut 27.
The percentage of positive of individuals whose tests come back positive is up. We talked with an expert yesterday who's urging caution, and we just heard you say, you know, as we head indoors, the cases are likely to rise. So instead of moving to the next phase, should you be pumping the brakes a little bit?
We talked with an expert who's urging caution. Really? An expert? I'm Howie Carr. You know the best way to listen to anything, whether it's debate prep or music or podcasts? Using a pair of premium wireless earbuds, especially if you can get them at less than half the price of the other guys. That's why I recommend wireless earbuds from Raycon. I got some in the spring and I loved them. I got some for Grace for her birthday in late May. She got some for Father's Day for her father on a couple of weeks later. Now everybody in her family's got the Raycon earbuds. They're fantastic. And I recommend them to Joe Biden. Even if, I don't know if they can be jammed or not, though, by those military devices. Raycon's newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. With 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, more compact design, and noise-isolating fit, Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet, no dangling wires or stems. The company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Mike Tyson, and J.R. Smith are obsessed with their products. Give them a try. Raycon has a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure they're the pair of wireless earbuds for you. Now, for a limited time, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. So I guess after this letter was released from the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, to Lindsey Graham on the eve of J. Edgar Comey's appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee to discuss this, they started going, well, you know, this is just Russian disinformation. You mean like the dodgy dossier? No, it's not Russian disinformation. So after the pundits, the alt-left pundits who were, you know, bought into this thing, hook, line, and sinker. Some of them were paid for it too, by the way, by Fusion GPS. We just don't know their names. Ratcliffe, the DNI, released the following statement. To be clear, this is not Russian disinformation and has not been assessed as such by the intelligence community. I'll be briefing Congress on the sensitive sources and methods by which it was obtained in the coming days. And the conservative treehouse, Sundance, it's really a good website for understanding Russiagate. They have a timeline here. And again, July 26th is the date when Hillary Clinton approved a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump. July 26th, okay? July 25th, Robbie Mook was being interviewed by Jake Tapper, another member of the Clinton crime family, a paid member of the Clinton crime family when he worked for the Philadelphia congresswoman whose son is Hillary Clinton's son-in-law. Robbie Mook told the Russian conspiracy narrative to Jake Tapper for the first time. That was the first time they decided to start spinning out this farcical tale. July 26th, the next day, a Clinton foreign policy advisor is pushing this narrative to CIA director John Brennan. 2 days later, John Brennan pushes the Clinton-inspired Russian conspiracy hoax into the Oval Office and briefs President Barack Obama and God only knows who else, maybe Joe Biden. And they have Brennan's handwritten notes about going over there and telling him about this, that Hillary Clinton is promoting this fantasy. July 31st, 3 days, the FBI now has this. The FBI now has the information that the Hillary Clinton is conspiring with the Russians to promote this hoax. And yet 3 days later, after they visit to the White House, Peter Strzok launches the electronic communication, which officially begins the Trump-Russia investigation. A week later, or 6 days later, August 5th, former acting CIA director and Clinton campaign advisor Mark Morrell publishes an op-ed in the New York Times featuring the Clinton-inspired Russian conspiracy hoax. In the intelligence business, we would say that Mr. Putin has recruited Mr. Trump as an unwitting agent of the Russian Federation. So this is within a week. They've spun all this stuff up. It goes to the White House. The White House signs off on it. The FBI opens an investigation into Hillary Clinton's false narrative, and they get an op-ed in the New York Times. Oh, and an interview on CNN. Isn't that amazing? 844-500-4242. Laura says, my husband said the two break requests by Biden was misinformation from the Trump campaign. Is that true? Well, the Bidens are saying they never requested it. But we had Aaron Perrine on earlier, and Tim Murtaugh, who's also from the campaign, they've all said on the record that they asked for two bathroom breaks. And you just heard Corey Lewandowski say it too. So we have it from two people just on this show alone this afternoon. And other members of the campaign, the Trump campaign, are saying the same thing. So I think it's their word against Biden's. I'll take the Trump's word on this one. 844-500-4242-508 says, sounds like most of this took place or was hatched during the Democrat National Convention in 2016. Yeah, that's when it, yeah, right, exactly. Mook presented this during the campaign to Jake Tapper. They were in Philadelphia, and they just hatched it out and put it together. And they said, this is great. This will take the heat off us because we did something. So let's just accuse them of doing what we were doing, which was conspiring with the Russians. Gloria, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Gloria.
Yes, thank you, Howie, for taking my call. 2 points. I'm very nervous, but I'm also very, very angry. And I'm wondering how Joe Biden got permission to keep the listening device in his ear so that the answers to these questions can be fed into his ear.
Well, he says he doesn't have, you know, he says he doesn't have a listening device in his ear. So that's why he doesn't want to be examined, that it's, you know, intrusive, the usual BS.
Oh, and that's what I want. Who, and my next question then is, how does he get away with that?
Well, I mean, how do you just start staring into somebody's ear or putting your finger into somebody's ear? You can't do that. I mean, I know he grabs women by their shoulders and sniffs at their hair, but that's considered offensive behavior.
You don't think Trump's going to try to give him a few wet willies before the debate?
Hey, Joe, come here.
I never know what Donald Trump is going to do, but I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put anything past him. I wouldn't put it past him just slapping his ear. People slap, you know, it's a good playground thing, right? Slap somebody's ear, kind of get their ringing in their ears. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see Duke roaming around outside, jamming transmissions. I just got a text from a guy who was in Iraq in 2009. He says Duke saved his life many times, and he swears by Duke. Brian, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Brian.
Can I get me a Duke here?
Howie, how are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, Howie, I got a question on these moderators. I've been noticing all these debates. Why is it that only lefties can moderate a debate?
Brian, that is a recurring question. I don't know the answer to that. How did they let the next guy who's going to do a debate, if there is a debate, and I'm not convinced that it's going to happen, is a guy from C-SPAN. And do you know when this guy was in college, you know who he was an intern for? Joe Biden. Joe Biden. He was an intern for Joe Biden. Yeah. And then he went to work as an intern for Ted Kennedy. And this guy is a disinterested observer? I don't think so.
Yeah, you know who's debating? You know who's going to be the third debate moderator?
Who?
A girl by the name of Kristen Welker, and you know where she works, or where she did work?
Where?
MSNBC.
Oh God. Yeah, I don't know. The good news, that's the bad news. The good news is that President Trump deals with these fools, these Democrat operatives with press passes every day, so he knows how to handle them. All right, 844-500-4242. Joseph, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yeah, Howie, it's really kind of confusing. The right seems to be playing the victim instead of the victor, and if all these things are true that we all know about or we hear on the radio, you know, I got to ask the question: is the media just acting as an entertainment place, or are they? You know, is there substantial evidence to convict the people that are involved in the collusion.
I don't know, Joseph, but I keep coming back to this final paragraph of Ratcliffe's letter to Senator Graham. Attorney General Barr has advised that the disclosure of this information, meaning about this Hillary Clinton conspiracy with the Russians to smear Donald Trump, will not interfere with ongoing Department of Justice investigations. I mean, Joseph, how can this not be a crime? You know, they sent a guy in Maryland to jail for a year yesterday for hosting large parties in his house in defiance of the Rhino governor's executive orders. If that guy's going to jail for a year, these people were trying to steal a presidential election. How can that not be some kind of crime?
I agree. I think the media, the more left-wing media needs to be able to find a different mode to present all that information to everybody in this country that needs to know.
I think the problem is that the left-wing media, which is 90%, 95% of the media, they're not interested in presenting the evidence. They're interested in suppressing the evidence. They're not even going to cover this. I wonder if there will even be a story in the New York Times and the Washington Post. And again, I keep coming back to this point because I've worked in newspapers my whole life. The Washington Post and the New York Times gave themselves Pulitzer Prizes 2 years ago for their deeply sourced stories about the Russian collusion with Donald Trump. And now it turns out it was Hillary Clinton's collusion with the Russians. They had everything exactly the opposite of what it really was, and they used it to smear and distort reality and to try to cripple and hobble the Trump administration. Are they going to give back the Pulitzer Prizes? I keep asking that question, and we all know the answer. Did they give back Walter Duranty's Pulitzer Prize when he wrote there was no famine in the Ukraine whilst Joseph Stalin was starving to death millions of Ukrainians? No, they never gave those back. Thanks for the call, Joseph. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Howie. I just wanted to mention that Biden's request for the two bathroom breaks, I mean, Roger Clemens and Jose Canseco, they used to have bathroom breaks too. That's when they get the shot in the rear end for the memory juice.
I hadn't even thought about that, John. I think, though, they would give him one shot, probably on the plane flying over, or maybe in the green room before the debate. But I don't think they'd give him a shot right in the middle. I don't think they would need it. I think the drugs, whatever they're giving him, Adderall, or I don't even know what the names of the other drugs are, would probably carry him over. Namenda would probably carry him over for the entire debate. But I think he just needs to go to the bathroom because Namenda, one of the side effects of Namenda, which is a drug for people in the early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's, is incontinence. So he might need a bathroom break really, really quickly at some point. And so he's just got to kind of hold it in. But he's going to have to hold it in for the entire 90 minutes. So I don't know if that's possible or not. We'll see. 844-500-4242. Now, finally, the Fox News Channel is talking about this. DNI classifies intelligence reports. So we'll see what they're going to be saying about this. Again, it's going to be very interesting tomorrow to see what Comey says. I think I know what he's going to say. To the best of my recollection, I do not recall. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Georgia Congressman Doug Collins just tweeted this out a couple hours ago after this letter came out from his former colleague in the House of Representatives, John Ratcliffe, to Lindsey Graham. This sums it up. Hillary Clinton was behind the entire Russian collusion hoax all along. The FBI knew this and happily partnered with her to take down real Donald Trump. And the media were willing accomplices. Let that sink in. Someone needs to go to prison. Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. That's what I don't understand. I mean, I'm glad they released this today, and I hope they'll go crazy with this in the Senate Judiciary Committee, Ted Cruz especially. But how can this not be the subject of a criminal investigation? 844-500-4242. 617 says, my husband just showed me a video of Biden getting on a plane today holding an umbrella. Didn't know how to close it before entering the plane. Couldn't get through doors, so just he threw it behind him. Yeah, we saw that. Unfortunately, it's not very good radio. It's kind of a video moment, but you should really check it out tonight. 844-500-4242. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Yes, Howie Carr. Listen, you know Cory Booker. Cory Booker, a reporter, tell him, why are you not married? Why are you not having no kids?
Mr. Garcia, let's let sleeping dogs lie on Cory Booker, okay? Keep going, though.
No.
Keep going.
Again, he told Rick Mora, Iranian Ford senator, he had three kids, his wife. I believe he's not going to win. New Jersey's so dumb. I don't think so. He's not going to win. Booker going to win. I hate it.
The smart people left New Jersey, Mr. Garcia, when they passed that first millionaire's tax way back when. You should have gotten out then. But it's still not too late. I mean, you probably can't get as much for your house as you could have before they passed the millionaire's tax. But that's what we're trying to do here in Massachusetts. All of us who are, whether we're millionaires or not, we know we're going to get slammed by this millionaire's tax when it gets passed in 2022. But thanks for the call, Mr. Garcia. Linwood, you're next with Howie Carr. You know this Senate Judiciary Committee hearings on Amy Coney Barrett, that's going to give Cory Booker a chance to have yet another Spartacus moment. Yeah, he said there would only be one Spartacus moment in his life, but now there may be a second one. You never know the twists and turns of life. Linwood, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Linwood.
Hey, Howie, how you doing? You know, it's really crazy. Everything that President Trump's been accused of, the other side has actually done.
Right.
The collusion was the Democrats. The Ukrainian, you know, thing. There's a video of Biden bragging about doing the exact same thing, but it was
right.
Okay. And the newest one that didn't get much press was the president said these disparaging remarks, which John Bolton, who hates the president, came out and said he never said it.
Well,
and then we got a tape with Biden calling him stupid bastards.
Yeah, you're right, Linwood. And wait, there's a new one today. Apparently, the New York Times tax story, the fact that the third time was not the charm for running the same story. So the Atlantic has got a new scathing expose out. Do you know what it is? Unnamed aides say Trump privately disparages and jokes about his evangelical supporters. Again, no names, nothing specific. It's just making it up. They need a scandal every couple of days because the scandals, the more scandals they put out, the less effect they have. The half-life, it's like radioactive materials. The half-life just keeps decreasing for these scandals. And then there's nothing left. And so this is the next scandal from the Atlantic month, the Atlantic. It's the Atlantic's time at bat. Trump disparages evangelicals. So they're going to vote for a guy who wants to crack down on religious worship, including the Little Sisters of the Poor. I know they're Catholics, not evangelicals, but I think there is some camaraderie there. Good luck at the debate. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.